That's coming up later in the show. But first, there is a scramble on in East Lansing to reformulate plans for the fall. Michigan State University President Samuel Stanley made the decision late Tuesday that all instruction will be online, this coming just weeks before classes were about to begin, and days from students' move-in. Several colleges and universities across the country, including Notre Dame and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, have made an abrupt about-face in recent days after starting classes and finding case numbers spiking with students' arrival. There are faculty at MSU concerned about what this means for their teaching this fall, among them Rebecca Jacobson. She's an assistant professor of education, politics, and policy within the Department of Educational Administration at MSU. Rebecca Jacobson, it's good to hear your voice. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
What was your initial reaction to the news yesterday?
I think it was both a bit of surprise as well as a bit of, oh, I kind of expected this was coming.
Do you think it was the right call?
I do think it was the right call, even though I think many faculty across the entire campus are really disappointed and saddened that we're not going to be able to have the same kind of interactions with students that we really enjoy and think really leads to some excellent learning and experience of higher ed that is more than just the content that can be delivered. But I really support the decision because first we have to make sure our students are safe and healthy.
So what had been your plan for the next couple of weeks before this news arrived yesterday?
Well, just like many faculty across campus, we've spent a great deal of time planning to try to do everything we can to ensure safety, to make sure that we've set up protocols, to make sure that we're providing students with everything that they would need in order to come to campus and have a great experience. So some of that is planning directly for courses, changing the way that we organize learning activities, group work activities, sort of being creative to rethink how we can still create an interactive and rich environment, but do it in a safe way. And as well as everything from signs posted all over campus, reminding students of how we need to handle ourselves, just so many things that went into trying to plan for a reopening.
Do you mind saying a thing or two about the course load that you have this fall?
Sure. I am going to be teaching just one course this fall. It was going to be a hybrid course. I really wanted to make sure that my students still had some of that face-to-face interaction, an opportunity for me to sort of be over their shoulder as they're thinking through and working through problems and helping them develop solutions as we're trying to dig into some really rich education issues. And so that's why I thought it was important to maintain some face-to-face contact, even though more than half of my classes were going to be virtual through Zoom.
Yeah. Could you say a little bit more about that? I mean, on paper, we can certainly understand how maybe some of the scientific disciplines or medical disciplines actually need in-person interactions to get across what they're trying to impart. But why is it that you felt that the in-person component was important?
And some of the courses, actually in all of the courses that I teach, we're often focusing on difficult issues around race and class and political and social and economic inequality. And these aren't topics that are light or easy. And part of really being able to dig into those topics in a meaningful way is to build trust, not just trust in me, the instructor, but trust amongst the entire class. Trust that I, as the instructor, will be able to lead us in a positive direction, but also trust in your fellow student that if I say something or ask a question, we'll be generous with our, attempts to understand where you're coming from. And not that we won't disagree with you or push back when you say something that is bothersome or factually inaccurate, but that we'll do it in a way that really cultivates learning, not shutting down people. And I just don't know how to do those conversations to that same depth when you can't even see the people you're talking to, when you're just looking at a little tiny box that has a person's name, and you can't read their emotions. You can't see when you say something that hurt your fellow classmate and kind of makes you go, oh, I really do need to rethink what I just said because I'm not trying to make somebody feel upset or uncomfortable. And so you lose that kind of really critically important conversation ability when you can't see the whole person and everybody can't be present.
You know, it feels like that kind of interaction may be some of what we mean when we talk about the value of a college education. You know, the idea that you will meet people with other experiences and that you will meet people from, you know, from other parts of the country and other backgrounds. And maybe that's part of what's not present when with so many schools having to shift online.
I think that's true across all grade levels, not just higher ed, but, you know, K-12. And so I think that we are doing, and I'm just constantly amazed by my colleagues and the efforts that we've all gone to not only develop ideas, but share ideas for how to try to replicate those kinds of conversations in this new environment. But I know for me personally, I just don't ever feel they're the same. And I always feel a little bit sad that I'm not meeting the potential that I want to as an instructor.
It's so noteworthy to me that even seasoned pros in the field of education like yourself are a little bit adrift by what's happening here. Is there anything that you feel you've been able to learn about distance education over the summer that might be helpful to you?
Yeah, I think that we have spent a lot of time coming up with new and creative platforms. There's so much out there that it just really did take a lot of time for many of us to kind of try out and weed through. And we are all really grateful that the university provided us with these opportunities with consultants who could offer us expert advice. I could go to them and say, here's what I want to do. Here's how I would do it in a face-to-face environment. How can I try to replicate that as best as I can in an online environment? So, you know, some of those attempts to just see what else is out there has been really beneficial.
Over the past couple of months, how do you feel Michigan State is doing in terms of communicating the plan with faculty and staff and maybe also with students?
I think that all of the administrators are doing their very best to try to keep everybody in the loop. I think the problem is that everything keeps changing from underneath us in a record pace that's so hard to keep up with. And I know, you know, I've been frustrated for some of my students that are waiting to hear, and I'm sometimes pestering administrators on their behalf, trying to get answers. And so it's not that anybody doesn't want to give an answer. It's just that we oftentimes are hit with so many things all at once that the answers, even if we had them, might change. And so do you give an answer and then have to retract it, or do you hold off? And which makes, you know, neither is a very good option.
Right. What are you hearing from some of your colleagues? Are they concerned about how this is going to play out in terms of teaching or student experience?
I think many of us are especially concerned and talking about what will this mean for our students that come to us who don't have the same educational or economic capital to support their learning at home. So I think we are all very worried about our first generation students, our students who have been typically not served by public education to the best that we should have served them. And so I know personally from last spring, some of my undergraduates were trying to do classes from a phone. They were sharing a laptop with nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters that were in their house. They were trying to do class in a bedroom that was shared by, you know, younger siblings that had taken over the room thinking it was now theirs as their older college sibling had moved on. And that is really a difficult learning environment. And it is not because the student isn't doing absolutely everything that they can. And I feel that this is only going to widen some of those gaps that we have been working so hard to try to narrow. And that is probably the thing that we're talking about the most.
Well, we did see in the letter that President Stanley put out, you know, he said this was an extraordinarily difficult decision. It certainly seems possible that there might be more back and forth in the weeks and months to come. Maybe caseloads go down and there's a cautious return to the classroom. Maybe they go back up again and everybody shifts back online. How are you doing with trying to plan what you're going to say in classes with that possibility, at least in mind?
The approach that I've taken with all of the students is to try to just have as much of an open door policy as possible. I keep trying to make space for them to share any of the needs that they're facing, the challenges that they're facing, so that we can support them. I think so often, you know, lots of people put on a brave face and try to figure it out on their own. And what I'm trying to say to students is that I'm really here, along with so many other faculty members that interact directly with students, to figure it out with you. You don't have to try to tough it out, put on a brave face, work at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's finally quiet in your house. We're going to find ways that are reasonable, that ensure that you're able to learn everything we want you to learn, but that you're also able to maintain, you know, sort of mental health, physical health, and a realistic outlook on life. I think that is the most important thing we can do.
Well, Rebecca Jacobson, thank you so much for talking to us, and good luck this fall.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your focus on this issue.
Rebecca Jacobson is an associate professor of education, politics, and policy at Michigan State.